Like.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM in HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, the radio home of the Golden State Warriors.
It's great to talk to Michael Irvin each and every week. We normally do it on a Monday, but we didn't have anything on a Monday except Christmas Eve. So we weren't working. He wasn't working. Now we're putting in the work with the playmaker, the Hall of Famer from NFL Network and 95.7 The Game contributor, Michael Irvin, back on the Damon Bruce Show. Always good to have you, Michael. How are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm doing well, man. And I was working Monday. I was doing Inside the NFL on Christmas Eve. But it was all cool. I got to fly back home that night and enjoy Christmas. And, you know, I think last year we usually have games or something on Christmas, and we had to work. So it was great to actually get home Christmas Eve and actually wake up Christmas at home. And I hope everybody enjoyed their Christmas and happy holidays. Looking forward towards a great new year.
Indeed, indeed. Happy holidays right back at you. Here we are already. It's week 17. It goes by so quick. We wait all year for it. And then it feels like, wow, man, 16 weeks of football is going to take a long time. You blink, you sneeze, you go to the bathroom once, and boom, it's over.
It is so amazing, man. It really is. Now, dude, I don't know if that's just us getting old, you know, because remember when when I first got in the league, I remember Everson Walls and all of those guys, they were in the steam room, and I was like, come on, man, let's go have a drink, man, game practice over, let's go hang out. They're like, no, we're going to sit in the steam room and I said, all right, y'all old men, that's it. They said, Michael, listen, you got to do these little things. And he said, this thing's going to go so fast, it's going to be gone just like that. And I mean, the next year, I was doing those little things. I was sitting in the hot tub, and he's right. It seemed like a year, 5 years, 6 years later, it was over. It was over. It goes so fast. Each season now goes so fast. We were just talking about what to expect with Jimmy G, and they won their last five games, and how this year is going to play out. And now we're ready to start talking about playoffs and for building for next year and everything. It's amazing how quick things fly by.
Yeah, it really is, Michael. And I tell you, the only people who would ignore all these veterans giving advice would be the young guys who think they're invincible, and that never, ever lasts very long in this league. Let's turn our attention to the 49ers, who, you know, put a valiant effort out there against the Bears last week, trying to make it three in a row, but the better team won out. Chicago won, also helped the 49ers. Now they can't finish worse than the fifth pick in the draft, which we like around here. I tell you, Nick Mullins, though, he has been a bright spot in a year where you're looking for bright spots, and it's been a long season. What Shanahan's been able to do with him has just really been remarkable, and it's completely absolved Kyle, I think, of his win and loss record, which next year is officially going to matter. But in the meantime, he can coach him up. I think that's the theme of the year. Even in bad times, Shanahan can coach an offense.
He can coach, man, and I love the guy. I really do. I love the way he works. I love how great he is, and you can extrapolate from what you see now to when he get his roster where he wants it, what it will be. You know what I mean? When he gets that roster to where he wants it, that could be an incredible, incredible situation for San Francisco, for the city. Certainly, I know for him, because I find him to be a fascinating, phenomenal coach. And here's the big question: what do you do now with Nick Mullins when Jimmy G gets back? Because he is high commodity. Let me tell you something. High commodity. When I was doing that Showtime, Monday, and it was the first time I had done Showtime in about a year inside the NFL. You know, I used to do it all the time, and I hadn't talked with Boomer Esiason and Phil Simms in a while, and I sat and talked with those guys. Man, they were like me. They were like, Mike, oh, yeah, we love Nick Mullins. This is an incredible job. So now, do you keep him as a backup, or do you trade that great asset to bring in more assets for when Jimmy G gets back? I mean, so you just talked about you got the fifth pick of the draft. You can't do no worse than the fifth pick of the draft. You don't have any – there's not a great quarterback class coming out. So that means the Mullins can bring you some great, great assets. People will be willing to come off something for a kid that played the way he played this season. It's going to be interesting to see how all of that plays out.
The Hall of Famer Michael Irvin wasn't the only one working on Christmas Eve. So were the Oakland Raiders. And it might have been the last game at the Coliseum, but, you know, they played well against Denver. They sent everyone, I hope, home happy if that is the last time. It was a obviously a tumultuous year. They're going to wrap up against Kansas City. I don't think anybody's going to give them a snowball's chance in hell to go into Arrowhead and shock the world. When you look back at John Gruden's return to football, can you even think of anything that happened on the field before you think, well, he's the guy who traded Khalil Mack?
Not just Khalil Mack. I got to look Khalil Mack, Amari Cooper. You know, people are going to make jokes about how he helped. He should be GM of the year because most GMs help one team, and he helped two teams get to the playoffs. You know, it's like, wait a minute. You know, that's a little harsh right there. The man is trying to build his squad. But sometimes you take a few steps backwards to move forward. And it'll be interesting to see how all of this plays out. You know, and I hear you guys hear the rumblings about what's going. What will he do with Derek Carr and the contract? And he can get out. They can get out of the contract. I mean, you know, for where John Gruden started, it's going to take a phenomenal turnaround to get past that stigma on him of letting the Khalil Mack go, of letting Amari Cooper go and all of that. So he's going to have to put some great things together and some great years together to move people past that.
Michael Irvin joining us from NFL Network. So here we go. We're already starting looking at postseason matchups and who can go far. And as I sit back and I look at all these teams, I can't pick the Super Bowl champ. I don't think anybody has got a better argument than anyone else, maybe. It's as wide open, I think, as I've ever seen it, Michael. So I'm just going to throw teams out to you. You tell me what you think, how far you think they could go. And let's start with something difficult. Let's start with Seattle.
Listen, D, you can stop right there. Because, honestly, the statement you made prior to asking the question is the reality of what we have right now in the NFL. You're not seeing teams put up 40, 50 points, 60 points anymore. That's gone. These defenses and everybody, they figured all of that out. And anybody can beat anybody now. Anybody can beat anybody. I'm serious. If San Fran wasn't hurting and Brea with Pettis and all of those guys not playing, if they were out, I would be saying they got a shot at beating the Rams because Gurley's not going to play. You see what I'm saying? Anybody can beat anybody in this playoffs right now. That's what makes it so interesting. You don't know. There's no clear-cut favorite. Everybody thought at the beginning of the year, oh, it was Kansas City and it the Rams. Now Kansas City dropped their last two. The Rams dropped a couple games here. Now we're saying, oh, my God, this thing is wide open, and it is wide open. And I think that's great for the NFL because everybody stays tuned. Now, it's not like basketball where you got to beat somebody 4 out of 7. It's only one game. It's any given Sunday, and in the playoffs it'll be any given Sunday or Saturday because they play Saturday to Sunday sometimes. And any team at any time can take that next step. That's what makes it phenomenal.
Cowboys have clinched. What's the first round matchup that gives them the best chance to take a step forward in this postseason?
I think the way it plays out is the best way for the Cowboys. I believe the one team the Cowboys do not want to see right now in the playoffs, early in the playoffs, are the Rams. Now, this is what I say. So they'll get their first round matchup against Seattle. They can beat Seattle. They should have beaten Seattle in Seattle. So now, you know, Seattle away from Seattle is a little bit different team. But you can beat Seattle. And then what you want to hope, what you hope some kind of way is that Eagles get back in there and go and beat the Rams for you. You know, you want the Eagles to win and then get that first round win and then they go play the Rams while you go to New Orleans if you're the Cowboys. You can beat New Orleans and then the Eagles have to come to you in an NFC championship game and you can beat Eagles here. I think the only worry they really have would be the Rams as far as it goes to making it to a Super Bowl.
Talking playoff pressure with the playmaker, Michael Irvin, here on 95.7 The Game. And Michael, I don't think that there is any one man in the NFL who's got more pressure on him in Week 17 than Kirk Cousins.
Me neither, buddy. everybody.
The Vikings win and they're in. If he loses, he's the expensive quarterback who didn't get them as far as Case Keenum did last year. Ouch.
Right. Didn't even get him in the playoff. That and Case Keenum got the NFC Championship game. It'll be, oh my God, it's crazy. That's why. And I got to give the NFL some credit here. Let me give them some credit here because brilliance. It's brilliance. Every game that has playoff implications on them are played at the same time.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Scoreboard watching.
So Chicago, who has a shot at getting that second seed, can't sit back and say, well, we're not going to play because we just watched the Rams beat San Francisco. You don't know how that's going to play out. You're playing at the same time. So you got to at least go into it thinking, okay, now, because that's a bye. We got to go. We got to load our guns. We got to play best we can play. Now, of course, if you're watching the game and the scores be coming on the scoreboard, and if San Fran is up, you say, oh, my God, let me make sure I play my guys to finish this game out so we can win it. If San Fran is down and it doesn't look like they got a shot at coming back and winning that game, then you can start pulling guys out and saving them for next week. But the fact that they did that, I love that.
I do too. And I gotta pull the card here on you, though, Michael. You said San Fran like four times. If you met St. Francis in heaven, you wouldn't call him San Fran. You'd say, hello, St. Francisco. St. Francis. Please, the proper name. It is San Francisco. Let it all roll off your tongue. It's beautiful.
You know what's funny that you bring that up? I don't know if that's a derogatory term towards San Francisco. You know, but the years that we played, all those years we played, hey, man, you got San Fran this week.
There you go.
That's how we said it.
Yep,
when we
played
them in championship game, it was, hey, San Fran week. That's how we said it. It's funny that you bring that up. Never thought about that before, D.
I'll go ahead and I'll give you a pass considering you're in the Hall of Fame with a star on your helmet.
That you want to finish that word out. San Francisco.
Go ahead.
What you call it. Say it the right way. That's kind of interesting to get that knowledge.
She's too pretty to have a nickname. You know what I mean? Too pretty.
I got you, buddy. I got you. That's interesting, though. So all of those years we did it, we were being derogatory, and we didn't know it.
And I'm sure now that you know it, you love it.
That's interesting. Buddy.
Michael, here's a crazy stat. I couldn't believe this one. Deshaun Watson, you want to talk about a stud at the position? This kid hasn't lost a game that he started by more than one score since he was a sophomore in high school.
Wow.
That's all college. That's all NFL. Wow. Not one game he started. I mean, he has his team in every game he's playing in. That's unbelievable. When they say, hey, this guy can't go out there and play defense too, I mean, maybe he can. I don't know.
But it tells you why Dabo Swinney said it when he said it. When he was coming out and he called him Michael Jordan of football. You know, that's why he said that. And everybody kind of kikied and caw-cawed and laughed and hee-heed and ha-hawed. But even that game last week, you saw him bring that team back. Man, that was he made some plays in that game. And it's exactly – now, I see him sometimes and I say, wow, okay, you got to get rid of that ball, D-Watt. Get rid of the ball. Don't hold on to it so much, you know. But he has that never-die mentality, and that's what you're talking about. That's why that stat is a reality, because he has that never-die mentality. We're always in it. I don't care how many points they're ahead. We're coming back, and he has made that to be his reality. It's an incredible – that is an incredible stat. I'm going to steal that too, buddy. Trust me. You will hear me drop that on TV all week long, because that's phenomenal.
Use it, and if you'd like to source, you know, the station, a little show promo, go ahead and tuck that in there too if you can. I got to ask you this. It's such a great football weekend. We got essentially bowl games. We got the college football version of the Final Four. We got basically NFL playoff games, huge implication games. But I want to ask you about Kyler Murray, because if this young quarterback from Oklahoma beats Alabama, all of a sudden the Sooners are going to be in the national title game. He is already a first-round pick of the Oakland A's. And if he's about to get to that next level of NFL attention, which comes with him being projected as a first-round pick, Michael, a center fielder in Major League Baseball, or a quarterback drafted in the first round? What is the right choice for an athlete who might have that choice in 2018?
And man, I've heard people talk about this, which is mind-blowing, really, when you think about it, because it's a phenomenal opportunity to be able to say I'm drafted by baseball and get drafted in the NFL. And I thought he talked about it and said he's going to stick to his commitment to baseball. But like you said, and it's not – there are such great opportunities when you talk about playing baseball for the long haul. But center field will not give you the glory as you write your story that you get at the quarterback position. Do you understand what I'm saying? You could be sitting out in center field all by yourself for a long time, not doing anything. But at the quarterback position, every second of every day of every broadcast, we are talking about you. And that's going to be a fascinating decision for him to make. Now, do we really have a chance at beating Alabama with that defense that they have in Oklahoma?
Probably
that's
not.
Giving up so many points, even though his offense scores a lot of points. That's the whole question. Can you keep up scoring with Alabama? Because their defense won't be able to stop them.
Michael, you have indulged us with so much good information, so many great stories, so much fun, some inspirational stuff throughout the entire year. It's been just fantastic talking to you. Can I get one bad boy story out of you before it's all said and done? What is the craziest New Year's Eve Michael Irvin has ever had?
The craziest New Year's Eve I've ever had. And you know what? I've never really had a crazy New Year's Eve. My wife has always believed that and as a matter of fact, this will be the first New Year's that I'm not home. I will be working in New York doing inside the NFL, so I'll see the ball drop in New York. But my wife has always believed this thing, wherever you are on New Year's is where you will spend your year. So I've always spent home on New Year's, or we've been in church on New Year's. So now I'm going to spend my New Year's in New York working, so maybe I'll spend the whole next year working. So you know what I'm saying? That's not a bad thing.
You tell me you didn't stay maybe over one winter semester at the University of Miami, have yourself a Coral Gables go New Year's Eve?
Yeah, that was different. Now remember, we were playing bowl games on New Year's Eve.
Well, true. Yes, you were. Yes, I will give you that much.
So indeed. I was locked up in a hotel waiting on New Year's Day to come to play that bowl game back then. So that was a pretty day. I had plenty of great stories, plenty of great days, but they just weren't New Year's Eve days.
Well, fair enough.
Pretty wild stories. They just didn't fall on New Year's Eve.
Well, you dodged my New Year's Eve question. I'll give you that credit. Next time, we'll get a real party story out of you. Michael, I hope there is many more next times with you. Again, all season long, you've been a fantastic contribution to this program. I can't thank you enough.
Too.
Man, thank you so much. Michael Irvin, you are the best. Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year's to you, and happy New Year's to everybody. God bless, guys.
Michael Irvin, great stuff. The Hall of Famer. Thanks so much for coming on, as always. Good job, Albie. Way to get him up on an in. Kyler Murray's situation is interesting, is it not? I mean, come on, man. If you're talking about, well, you know, you might be drafted in the fifth round as an offensive lineman, or you're already drafted as a first pick of a major league team, well, of course you go to Major League Baseball. That goes without saying. And I know that Kyler Murray is on record saying that he wants to honor his commitment to the Oakland A's, but here's what hasn't happened yet. He hasn't turned into the quarterback that everybody is talking about going on in the first round. And if he beats Alabama, that's what they're going to be saying. The pressures on Kyler Murray to enter the NFL draft are going to be so huge. If he looks good, balls out, shows out against Alabama, as NFL offenses are now embracing air raid and spread offenses like never before, as Russell Wilson continues to take the, well, you got to have a 6'5" frame and be a pocket presence at all times notion and just continues to spit on it. Kyler Murray's NFL stock could go through the roof in this next bowl game. If he beats Alabama, dude, I think the A's are going to have a little something to worry about. I think David Forst is going to have a little something to worry about. Before you say you're nuts, Damon, I mean, it's all about like safety and health. Yeah, you could definitely have a safer ride in Major League Baseball But unless you get that, all right, congratulations. You're Bryce Harper and you're looking at $300 million. You're Aaron Judge, $250 million. Unless you're looking at that guaranteed, no doubt about it, money the whole way through. And all baseball contracts are guaranteed, obviously. But, like, you know, you do realize that Aaron Judge made only, like, $600,000 last year. And you need to play 7 years of Major League Baseball before you hit that big, big, big money envelope. Where if you're a first-round drafted quarterback, you get the big money envelope with a lot of guaranteed big money in it day one. Last year, the league-wide pool for drafted rookies in the NFL was $1.25 billion, with $520 million allocated to first-round draft picks. Again, if Kyler Murray were to be a second, third, fourth, fifth-round pick, no. Go play baseball. But if he is a top pick, if he were to go in the top 10, I mean, obviously he wouldn't get number one overall Baker Mayfield money. But do you realize that he would be giving back approximately that $4-5 million to the A's to turn around and have a like $20+ million signing bonus if he were a first round quarterback drafted? That's a lot of money. That's guaranteed money to him. Now, if you go on to be Bryce Harper, if you're Mike Trout, if you're going to be looking at a $400 million deal, sure. If you were a rank-and-file football player, don't do it. But, man, if you could be a first-round draft pick as a quarterback, that might pay an awful lot more money to you than a baseball career. And, look, we all know that baseball, as much as football chews up and spits out quarterbacks, hitting a baseball consistently over 10 to 15 years is one of the hardest things to do in all sports. Not that playing quarterback is easy, but this could get into a very interesting situation for the A's and for Kyler Murray himself if he balls out against Alabama. You better hope Phyllis has a little something for Kyler.
Roll Tide!
You know what I'm saying?
They're better than what you've got. Nick Saban is a better man than you are.
But I heard the dynasty's over.
Bama's dynasty has just begun. Kiss my butt. Roll Tide!
Thank you, Phyllis. When we come on back, I said that we had prepared something lovingly, and we have. It's time to say goodbye to those who we said goodbye to in 2018. In Memoriam, coming up next. Another year is in the books, and it's time for another round of goodbyes to share a little 2018 In Memoriam, courtesy of the Damon Bruce Show. We'll have to start with the love and, most importantly, the respect we had for a legend. Goodbye to the real queen, Aretha Franklin. Lynyrd Skynyrd guitar genius Ed King, well, he's coming home to you.
Sweet home, where skies are blue. Sweet home, Alabama. I'm coming home.
Roll Tide!
The literal father of the Jackson 5, Joe Jackson, passed away in 2018. Marty Balin, a rock father of the San Francisco sound, both as founder and lead singer of the Jefferson Airplane, up and flew away. The music world has always had a sad list of players gone far too soon. Cranberries front woman, Dolores O'Riordan, was just 46 when she passed away. Her music was omnipresent in my high school days, early college. He woke up when it was over.
So wake me up when it's all over.
Avicii was only 28 years old. Mac Miller, he OD'd at the young age of 26. Mac, we hardly knew you. When it comes to beloved, we had an awful lot of beloved heartbreak here in the city of San Francisco, especially from our world of sports. We lost two bona fide Bay Area legends in 2018. 49ers icon, beloved Dwight Clark, gone too soon at the age of 61 to ALS. We waved a loving goodbye to a man who gave us the catch and to a ball player by the nickname of Stretch. Goodbye to the Hall of Famer Willie McCovey, who left us at the age of 80. Paul Allen changed the way the world computes, and then he changed the Seattle Seahawks. I'm still not sure which was the greater accomplishment. Tex Winter passed away at the age of 96. Winter assisted Phil Jackson on 11 NBA championship teams spanning the Bulls and Lakers, and it would be more than appropriate if his headstone were shaped like a triangle. Sadly, baseball said goodbye to Luis Valbuena and Jose Castillo, who were both killed in a car crash on their way to play the sport that they loved in Venezuela. We said goodbye to 14-year NBA veteran Rasul Butler, who lost his life along with his wife in a sad and fatal car crash in 2018. Former baseball executive Kevin Towers died at the young age of 56. He is the former GM of the Padres and the Diamondbacks, and his fingerprints can still be seen all over the National League West. NHL great Stan Mikita skated off the ice one last time. In Chicago, he was a Blackhawks legend, and to a generation raised on Wayne's World, he was a donut shop where Garth sang Foxy Lady to a waitress.
This is Stan Mikita's Donuts. Excellent munchies.
The Mets lost a legend in their beloved Rusty Staub. You could always get a little barbecue out by the Rusty Staub bleachers at Shea Stadium. Wrestling lost an icon, Bruno Sammartino. A true legend passed away. Football lost its least known icon, a gentleman named George Taliaferro. He died at the age of 81. He was the first black player ever drafted by an NHL team all the way back in 1949 by the Chicago Bears. And the reason why I know all about him is because he went to Indiana University. And for our final goodbye here in the sports world, we go all the way back to the first month of 2018, a month that is always associated with the Rose Bowl, and how appropriate that we remember the Rose Bowl with the voice, as far as I'm concerned, of the Rose Bowl, a legendary broadcasting icon, Keith Jackson Honele. He was 89 years old. Hollywood was left aching when it lost the hunk of the 70s, former box office icon, Burt Reynolds.
You've got a great profile.
Yeah, I do, don't I? Especially from the side.
Well, at least we finally agree on something.
Yeah. You both like half my face.
Goodbye, Bandit. R. Lee Ermey took such an iconic turn in Full Metal Jacket, Hollywood kept hiring him to yell at us for years.
I am Gunnery Sergeant Hartman, your senior drill instructor. From now on, you will speak only when spoken to. And the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir. Do you maggots understand that?
Sir, yes, sir. Goodbye to Superman's first real love, Margot Kidder.
Easy, miss. I've got you.
You've got me? Who's got you?
And let's be honest, when it comes to superheroes, we lost the man who made a universe. Excelsior, Stan Lee. Goodbye to Tom Wolfe, who lit the bonfire of the vanities. Feel free to be an odd couple or to walk barefoot in the park. That's what Neil Simon would have wanted. Goodbye to the creator of Bikini Bottom, Steven Hillenburg.
Oh! Who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
SpongeBob SquarePants!
Absorbent and yellow and porous is he!
SpongeBob SquarePants!
Champagne wishes and caviar dreams to Robin Leach, who showed us the lifestyles of the rich and famous. We lost a Van Dyke.
This llama that I paid the $7,000 just dropped dead. It was like 100 years old, and I didn't know.
We lost Night Court's sleight-of-hand judge, Harry Anderson. And we lost a man who defined slight so much, he was simply known as Mini-Me.
Mini-Me? Mini-Me, where are you? Can someone put a frickin' bell on him or something? Great. Somebody get the stick.
Goodbye to Vern Troyer. Hee-haw's been canceled for years now, but it's officially can't do that show anymore. Roy Clark, he died at the age of 85. And just last week, Shamil Shamazzle, Hoffenpfeffer Incorporated. So long, Penny Marshall.
Give us any chance, we'll take it. We're any rule, we'll break it. We're gonna make our grave.
the world stage, we buried the OG Bush when presidents were presidential. George Herbert Walker Bush passed away in 2018, not very long after his beloved Barbara passed. Rest in peace and thanks for your service to John McCain. As if to defy physics, Stephen Hawking, he died on Albert Einstein's birthday. There's obviously a lot more who passed in 2018. We don't have the time to mention them all. But I want to conclude our goodbyes with what I thought was the most unlikely of stars. He came out of the kitchen. He spoke about food. He drew a line right from food back to who we are as people, fellow citizens of the same planet. I know many of you were as shocked as I was when you heard that Anthony Bourdain had taken his own life. He understood the complex issues that span the globe. He also understood the importance of a great cheeseburger.
If I simply take an isolated photograph of my In-N-Out burger sitting on a table, an anonymous In-N-Out burger, I will get like 50,000 likes in 9 minutes.
Good night, chef. To those who lived long, to those who left too soon, we can only say thank you for the memories. Thank you for being a part of our lives. Fare thee well. Awesome job, Albie. Albie puts that together. I think you're now better at it than the Oscars are, and since nobody wants to host the Oscars, they should just roll with that. That was fantastic, man. Well done. Good job. Even the text line liked it. And the text line really doesn't like anything. When we come on back, we're getting closer to 5 o'clock, which means we're going to say hello to a 49ers player. That player today is rookie linebacker Fred Warner. He is one game away from never being called a rookie again. His season is almost over, as is every 49er. How do they plan on ending it in L.A.? We're going to get that from Fred Warner coming up today at 5 o'clock. We're going to get you out to Warriors Live at 6 o'clock. Some unbelievable sound from Warriors practice today. They're feeling a little frosty. We certainly like that. Got some great stuff from Klay Thompson and Draymond Green to share with you. We got an awful lot still coming up. We didn't do it yesterday, but we're going to do it today. A little 5 before 5, and Albie's going to read on the air. Let's see how that goes together, shall we? Next, here on 95.7 The Game.
Some things you need to know. Some things you want to know. It's 5 before 5 on 95.7, The Game.
Well, normally this is where Gianna Franco takes over, but Gianna's out for the remainder of the calendar year, so that's not going to happen today. This is normally where we say, hey, Bouton Vixen, we need you to be the CJ Beathard of the program. And she's, her voice, it's like Kathleen Turner during Jessica Rabbit. Like, it doesn't get better than that. But unfortunately, she's out sick today, which means maybe we got a third-string quarterback taxi squad bum, or maybe we got Nick Mullins. We're not sure. Albie's going to take his turn. 5 before 5, the headlines, deadlines, and stories that have slipped through the cracks. Albie, what do you got?
Well, I definitely don't have Elena's voice, so let's start there. I apologize to everyone listening right now.
It's okay.
That said, Nick Mullins, third-string quarterback here. That's actually our first 5 before 5. Nick Mullins. Hey, how about that? He's going to make his eighth and final start of the season on Sunday. He's thrown for nearly 2,000 yards, 10 touchdowns, 7 picks. For a guy that went undrafted and hadn't played a down in the NFL until Week 9 this season, Damon, have you seen enough from Mullins to warrant bringing him back as a backup? Or what would you say as a possible trade chip this upcoming draft? What would it take? What would you do?
So if you're flirting a second or third round pick, I might listen to your Nick Mullins offer. First round pick, obviously, boom, instantly done. We'll mail him to you. I'll drive him to the airport. Having said all that, I would like to see the 49ers hold on to Nick Mullins. That is a perfectly priced backup quarterback for the duration of Jimmy G's run here that you know if you had to go to, you wouldn't be that far behind the eight ball. I mean, Nick Mullins is a guy you absolutely want to hold on to in a rookie deal for as long as you can based on what we've seen. But if somebody were so desperate that they're willing to give you a big haul for him, how do you not at least kick the tires on that if you're John Lynch? So we'll see, but I think Nick Mullins is going to be this team's primary backup quarterback for 2 or 3 seasons here. If you're Kyle Shanahan, you got to be thrilled with what you've just seen.
Yeah, and if you're Shanahan, I mean, he's so good at putting these quarterbacks up for success that, I mean, if you can get a second or third rounder, why not? You just throw someone else in there, and I'm sure he'll do the same thing.
Right, and Jimmy's never allowed to get hurt again, which we should have also told you about. That's not allowed anymore.
Never
no more
allowed.
Of that crap.
All right, number 2. Last game at Oracle. in the year 2018. Tonight, Blazers, Warriors, Damian Lillard, final homecoming. Damon, you were asking Michael Thompson yesterday. You're like, well, you know, what do you like about Oracle? What memory do you have? And he just said, simply put, I love the fans. I love the fans at Oracle. That is my greatest memory of Oracle. Damon, I want to ask you, what are your favorite memories? Give me a top two, top three. What do you got?
All right, I'm going to give you one on-court, one off-court.
Okay.
On-court memory is Baron Davis's dunk over Andre Kirilenko. I have never heard a building go as insane for a particular dunker moment as that one did. And it's the only time I ever heard a building get louder upon seeing it on the replay. Like, if you had missed it live, they showed it on the big screen after it already happened, and the place reacted like it happened live a second time again. And then, of course, you got Matt Barnes walking away with, like, his hands on his head, and behind him, Baron Davis is pulling up his jersey to show everyone that he wasn't armed. Like, it was just awesome.
Just classic.
It was the greatest moment I think I've ever had inside of Oracle Arena in terms of on-court moment. In terms of the fans, Warriors fans have been absolutely amazing. I love their passion. I love their pride. I also love their sense of humor. When Donald Sterling was forced to sell the Clippers over the whole V. Stiviano, you know, not allowed for her. She's not allowed to bring black friends to games. Like,
I mean, come on.
Yeah, that whole thing. Well, the very first game the Clippers played after that incident was at Oracle Arena, and the Clippers came out with their Clippers jerseys turned inside out.
Forgot about that.
While all of that serious drama was unfolding with all sorts of, you know, disgusting racist overtones, and not just racist overtones, but straight up racism defining that story, there were two guys.
I mean, come on.
There were two guys at Oracle Arena, a white guy and a black guy. They're friends. They're at the game together. The white guy held up a sign with an arrow pointing down at him saying, I'm a white guy and I brought a black friend to a game. And the guy next to him who was black held a sign with an arrow pointed to him and it just said, I'm black.
That is fantastic.
And it was the greatest thing I've ever seen. It was these two fans diffused a serious issue and just showed everyone what an absurd thing it was. In just that moment. Those are two of my favorites. That's the greatest sign I've ever seen inside of Oracle Arena. I'm here with my black friend. I'm black.
That's fantastic.
It was incredible. Even Donald Sterling had to be impressed.
I mean, come on.
I mean, I sat courtside once. That was pretty cool. I got to see the hairs on Chris Mullin's legs back in the day. That was pretty cool.
Very nice.
And I was there for the We Believe year as well when they beat the Mavericks. Might have been game three, game four.
Nice.
Just, I don't think we'll ever see a louder arena ever.
It was special. Look, I'm going to tell you that Assembly Hall is built to be the loudest place I've ever been in. The seats are angled. The building is shaped in a way that makes it an acoustic nightmare. Oracle Arena is louder than Assembly Hall. For me to say that, Oracle Arena is the loudest basketball environment I've ever stepped into. When it is feeling it, there's nothing like it.
All right, number three. Did you catch the Cheez-It Bowl? I'll leave it there. Go.
Yes, I did catch the Cheez-It Bowl. It was the worst, best football game I've ever seen, only because that's one of those experiences that you can only have on Twitter. The entire world is laughing at the absurdity of this game. At some point, TCU's quarterback was suffering from drop foot. He was 5 of 18 with 4 interceptions and 8 yards. And he was suffering from drop foot, which, by the way, I have post-stroke. When your nerves do not line up and your foot doesn't quite motion up and down the way you want it to, every now and then I get what I call the left foot clomper. I get a little clompy with my left foot. If you're a quarterback, like 19, 22 years old, and you got drop foot, you should probably be out of the game.
9 interceptions.
9 total combined interceptions. TCU's best offense at one point was just a direct snap to their running back, Wildcat. I mean, like, it set offensive football back at least 25 years.
Is there anyone having a better day than Cheez-It, the brand?
No.
Mean, that's incredible.
No, Cheez-It got its money's worth, its whole bowl of Cheez-Its.
There you go. Number four. All right, we're moving on to NFL football. Ravens safety Eric Weddle earns $1 million incentive if he reaches the Pro Bowl and Baltimore makes the playoffs. So, in the same season, after making his 6th Pro Bowl earlier this month. Weddle only needs the Ravens to defeat the Browns this weekend to cash in. So the Ravens' projected chances are at 82.3%. That's the highest odds for a team not yet in the postseason. And Weddle said, I would trade in $1 million for a chance at the playoffs any second. That's some big time. That's some big time money.
All right, so Weddle's got a deal in his contract where if the team makes the playoffs and if he goes to the Pro Bowl, he gets $1 million.
Correct.
Playoff teams will be determined in this game. Ravens will win it and punch their ticket in, or lose it and not go. He's already been named to the Pro Bowl.
Correct.
Yeah, go Eric Weddle. Go Ravens. I mean, $1 million if you win, or you don't get $1 million if you lose. I hope that I seriously hope he does it. I like him as a player. He needs a better agent. I don't like the success of the entire team put directly on me clause in my contract. He needs new representation. I would have gotten you that million guaranteed just for the Pro Bowl, Eric. I wouldn't have put the playoffs in it.
I'd like to see the Ravens down five with a couple minutes to go, and he pick six
Weddle to the house.
Ravens win by one.
Nice.
All right, number five. An Ohio father went to great lengths to spend Christmas with his daughter, Pierce Vaughn, a flight attendant for Delta Airlines. She had to work several flights throughout Christmas Eve and day. So her father, Hal Vaughn, he bought multiple plane tickets to spend the holiday with her in the sky. He ended up on six different flights in total. Damon, at what lengths would you go to spend the holidays with your loved ones?
Okay, that seems extreme. It's a great, cute story. If for some reason, you know, the mom had passed away, there is no other kid, like if it's just him and his daughter, and his daughter doesn't have the stripes to take holidays off yet as a flight attendant, she's, you know, low stewardess on the totem pole, if you will, so she has to work. The fact that he bought tickets to fly with her everywhere is on its surface incredibly charming. Now, if he just was like, screw my other family members, and he's got a huge family at home, and they're such insufferable people that he did this just to get away from them, it's a little less heartwarming, but still, nonetheless, slightly heartwarming. And then I got a question about what did he spend to do this, and wouldn't his daughter had actually had it, the cost of that put into a gift or some sort of college fund,
right,
or some I'm paying off your debt. Like, how much did he spend on flying six different flights? What did he get his daughter other than, excuse me, ma'am, can I have more peanuts?
Yeah, was he flying first class? I got a lot of questions here.
I got questions, absolutely. Did he make her serve the drink and the peanuts and the snack? Did she give him deals on an in-flight thing? Like, was she privy to slip in a little Hawaiian popcorn, Alaska Airlines style to him? That's a number. If you ain't on the inn, you got to pay like $5.99 for that. No cash, credit card only. So,
yeah, I'm not sure I love anyone that much for six flights in 24 hours. That's a bit much.
Look at it this way. I really do like my family, and even getting on one flight to go visit them is a chore at times. So,
absolutely.
There you go.
There you go. Five for five. Nick Mullen style.
Good filling job, in. Albie.
Thank you.
Nice.
Thank you.
Freaking job. See, everybody steps up when somebody goes down. That's the way it works. So I've got a couple people weighing in here. Number one, there is some unhappiness with the Radio.com app for our streamers. The only thing I can tell you is that Radio.com is having issues at their level. It's not at our level. We're so sorry that you're having some streaming issues. Apologies. Sorry. The Geek Squad's working on it. I can promise you that. The League of Dorks is all over it. Not even our League of Dorks. Our League of Dorks did their job. This is the Radio.com app League of Dorks that need to do their job. So hopefully that does that goes quickly, very, very quickly. You know, I got a person here saying that my daughter works for the airline. If he's flying for free, likely. No, not likely. Not during the holidays. Not during the holiday. That jump seat, that extra seat, usually isn't open on holidays. If you got a flight attendant in the family that can gift you a free ticket here, there, put you on standby, there's very little standby to go around, and you can't bet on six straight standby flights to make every single flight. So he must have paid something. Must have absolutely paid something. By the way, the I got five on it is now officially creepy thanks to the Jordan Peele movie trailer that's coming out. I did see that, by the way, and it is creepy. Jordan Peele went from Key and Peele, like funny roly-poly guy. Noice. That guy. He went from that guy to now he is somewhere in between Alfred Hitchcock and the Twilight Zone. Like, this guy is like a modern master of the new horror genre. Like, it's amazing what this guy's done with his career. I am 100% in for that movie. 100% in. He earned his stripes last time around, man. I'm not going to doubt that guy. That guy can put a movie together. So I'm definitely going to check that out. Absolutely going to be checking that out. Damon, flights on Christmas are wide open. Oh, well, yeah, I guess there is that theory. If you're flying December 25th, it is easier to get on a standby flight. But still, six standbys in a row, you're just going to count on rolling the dice on all of it? Still, you really got to love your kid to want to do that. You got to have your own neck pillow if you want to do that. You got to roll with your own carry-on if you want to do that. He must have great noise-canceling headphones to spend an entire day like that with his daughter. Let's get back to what we're here to talk about today. What we're here to talk about today is a little bit of sports, and we're going to do that as we start our 5 o'clock hour. James, hit it.
KGMZ-FM and HD1 and KGMZ San Francisco, 95.7 The Game. Live from the DGDG.com studios on the corner of Broadway and Battery, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
It is really good to be with you here in our third and final hour today. We've got Warriors Live starting at 6 o'clock tonight. Warriors taking on the Trailblazers. I tell you, there is some very interesting player sound coming out of Warrior practice, some frosty comments from Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, and we'll get to those in just a moment or two. But first, we get to go inside the 49ers locker room to say hello to yet another 49ers player this season, and that player today is rookie linebacker Fred Warner, who will officially never hear the word rookie attached to his name again after four more quarters of football. In 60 more minutes, he won't be a rookie anymore, and he hasn't played really like a rookie at one point in time in this entire year. This guy's been fantastic. I don't know where the Niners would be without him. After all he does is lead this team in tackles. Fred Warner, Niner linebacker, welcome to the Damon Bruce Show. We haven't had you on yet, man, and we're very happy to finally say hello. How are you?
Hey, man, I'm good. Thanks for having me on. Thanks for having me on.
It's real good to have you on. First, before we get into this season, what is it like going to BYU? That's like a really into itself sports culture that comes with some rule books that the rest of the campuses don't have and whatnot. Right. Fred, what was it like to go to BYU? And obviously the success that they have year in, year out, it's you can't shake a stick at it.
Yeah, it was really good for me. We played some good football while I was there. My senior year, we didn't have the best season, but everybody showed a lot of love to me over all 4 years I was there. They care a lot about their sports teams over there. So it was a fun place to play and go to school and earn my degree. So it was a good time.
Are you from Utah?
No, I'm actually from San Diego. Yeah.
How'd you end up at BYU?
Man, you can ask my mom. She's the one who really wanted me to go there. And I just fulfilled her wishes of going over there. So, yeah.
Well, obviously, man, you've fulfilled the wishes of John Lynch since he took a chance on drafting you. You've been thrown right into the fire. I mean, wow. Did you expect this rookie year to play out like it did for you? Did you expect to be I think you might be this team's defensive snaps leader.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, I did and I didn't. I before the season started, I had high expectations for myself. I shot for the stars and said I wanted to be the rookie player of the year and this, that. But, still realistically, I knew I had a lot of great veterans ahead of me and guys like, Reuben Foster and Brock Coyle and Malcolm Smith and the list goes on and on. And so I didn't really know, where I was going to fit into that. I didn't know if I was going to be a special teams guy and just and play that role. But